Marshall Pruitt, racer, Racer Magazine, ESPN, Road and Track, and again, your insider when it comes to all things open wheel, joining us here in the Freak Nation. With Joseph Newgarden and the repercussions of the push to pass issue that came out at Long Beach via St. Pete, have we heard the last of this? Are there other dominoes that are going to fall with Penske's teams and Joseph Newgarden?
I don't believe so, Kenny, and that angers me and it saddens me. Not a vindictive guy, not someone who wants to see more punishment for the sake of. What I want to see is Penske Entertainment, which owns IndyCar, Roger Penske's company, take this more seriously than they have. Couple things here. I'll try not to go too far off the deep end. Here's an idea. Of all the ways that a race car can be found to be illegal, to be cheating, the one that scares me the most, and I think most people the most, is when you get into the software and electronics side. I think we all understand if there's a rule that says your A-arm must be like this, or a wing element must be shaped like that. If a team goes out and tries to make one that's a little different, that can do things a little bit better, I think we get that. That's something you can check by hand. They have templates that say, oh, that profile doesn't fit. That's blatantly wrong. Get those off the car. When we're talking software, when we're talking wiring, electronics, and these little nerdy boxes that so few of us ever get to interact with, that to me is the scary part, right? What are you doing? That's not a put the template on the car, fits, doesn't fit. This is one of those, we need to do a deep dive. The fact that there was a morning warm-up on Sunday at Long Beach that ended at 9:30 a.m. Cars were on grid 3 hours later. There was no notification to the other teams that Team Penske had been found cheating. The owner of the series, whose cars were found cheating, that knowing this is in this kind of scary, what else could be in there? Type software irregularities and whatnot. The fact that these cars were allowed to compete 3 hours after they were found to be running illegally in morning warm-up, how are those cars not thrown into a locked transporter and taken back to Indianapolis? Well, here's an answer, because IndyCar isn't like NASCAR. They don't have their R&D center where anything that doesn't look right, doesn't sound right, whatever, gets impounded, sent off, and properly inspected. How could cars running illegally 3 hours before the race be allowed to not only compete in that race, but none of the paddock be informed about this? How is it, here's again, overarching thing, if Rick Hendrick owned NASCAR and competed in NASCAR, you would think there'd be some pretty strong wording, rules, and policies put in place, kind of safeguards. What's the one team that could not ever be caught running illegally with that kind of crazy conflict of interest? Team owned by the guy who owns the entire series. If Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, owned the NFL and had a team and was caught with Deflategate or something else, you would have to believe the other team owners would either put in place safeguards, or there would be, from the top down, safeguards put in place to make sure such a thing never happened again. You would also think there would be some sort of policy that says, we'll use IndyCar, there are 10 full-time teams. One of those is Team Penske, owned by the person who owns the whole series. If those other 9 teams get caught cheating, whatever it might be, IndyCar, the president, Jay Fry, his whole technical inspection team, I think those other 9 teams fall right into the domain of IndyCar's top cop, top referee inspecting those vehicles. What's the one team that you should never ask? The people whose paychecks are signed by the guy who owns the series to inspect your boss, to investigate your boss. Why was there and is there no policy in place that says, in the crazy chance this were to happen, even though it can't, in order to protect the integrity of the sport, if this were to happen with the guy who owns the series, whose team competes in the series, and that team gets caught running illegally, this gets booted out of IndyCar's hands. We bring in external investigators. We bring in a law firm. We bring in all kinds of folks. One thing we won't do is ask our own employees to try and become detectives on their boss. It's unfair. None of those things exist. And so you go, okay, let's just kind of move on and go to the next race. This to me, and there are some other things we can explore as well in another day, but very long story short, this whole process, this whole encounter has exposed so many shortcomings in Penske Entertainment's design, its rules, just how it treats itself. It is saddening to me, but it comes back to one key thing. If we're talking about the NFL, where the commissioner owned the series and had a team running, playing, and they got caught, you got billionaires surrounding them with a lot of voting power written into their regulations. If this was Formula One, let's say Liberty Media, which owns Formula One, also owned Red Bull, and Liberty Media's team got caught cheating, those other teams have a ton of power and influence to bring Liberty Media and that team under heel. There are no such things in place in IndyCar.
That's exactly
the other team owners. No power to correct or affect any of this other than, say, refusing to put their cars on track in protest. And then they damage themselves and their sponsor. I mean, that's the disturbing thing here. There's nobody that can force Penske Entertainment to do anything differently than they so choose.
So how does that change moving forward? Who is going to be the one to implement better rules and regulations so this doesn't happen again? And so the series, Penske Entertainment themselves, doesn't have egg on their face yet again, or let's say get away with it.
I'm wondering the same thing, Gladys. I have been wondering the same thing because they're working on this charter system, right? That's supposed to get launched here in the next couple of weeks. And that's going to give team owners a little bit of say and a little bit of commerce ability. It gives them no power or rights. It doesn't allow them to make changes or demand changes to be made. I mean, the couple of things I think need to happen here, and none of them, I believe zero of them will happen. Roger Penske needs to either sell the series, sell the team, or sell 51% of the series to the other team owners. So that, in a crazy scenario like this, the folks who put 24 of the 27 full-time cars on the grid do have a mechanism to say, nope, that's not standing. We're not doing it this way anymore, whatever it might be. As it is right now, if we're thinking about voting, those 9 out of the 10 team owners have no votes of any consequence that can change anything. So to answer your question, I would hope Team Penske would lobby their boss. I hope the other owners would lobby Roger Penske, would lobby the executive level, Penske Entertainment, to say, hi, we see how this has failed us and how this has embarrassed us. Would you agree you all need to rewrite some of the ways that you do things for the betterment of the sport? Because this couldn't happen the first time due to the conflicts of interest and all the questions it would raise, but it has happened. What are we going to do if it happens a second time? And it will happen. It just, by the numbers, give us however many years, every team's going to have some sort of problem at some point in time. It's going to happen again at some point in time. Will they do anything to improve their business structure, how they react to things, kicking things out of IndyCar's hands to an external investigator and so on? Will they do any of those things to show folks that they are true and serious about being 100% correct at all times? Or is this just going to be a, if we don't talk about it, hopefully folks will forget?
When you have a guy like Marshall Pruitt coming in and dropping bombs like that, Freak Nation, you just go with it.
Marshall Pruitt's the ultimate insider in American open wheel and sports cars. I went on AI this week and just put in, how can IndyCar increase its audience? got some very interesting responses. Several of them had nothing to do with the series. They had things to do with the teams and the drivers. Do they hold any responsibility for building up the audience in IndyCar so that everything is not on Roger Penske's plate?
If I start a restaurant tomorrow, Bill, and I put my name on it, Pruitt Entertainment, it's a great new restaurant to go to. It's all kinds of fun.
Can't wait.
Who ultimately is in charge of making sure that folks know about my restaurant, hear about its attributes, given a reason to come, given a reason to partake and hopefully enrich me and have that business grow? It's me, right? I put my dang name on it. Even better, because this would be more accurate, Roger Penske chose to buy the IndyCar series and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Choice. Teams certainly need to be a partner in this and helping the series. No question. They have weekly meetings between the series and teams, marketing meetings to talk about who's doing what, new ideas, etc. So teams in general are certainly trying to do their part, some better than others. Just watched an amazing game 7 earlier today, NBA getting through the first round of the playoffs with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Orlando Magic, two smaller market teams. You have the same in IndyCar. You have some smaller teams who don't have as many huge stars that folks are going to gravitate towards. They don't have as much money necessarily or staff to go and hire waves of marketing and promotions experts and do as good a job as a bigger team. I realize the Lakers are out, but a Lakers, a Knicks, and so on, where you go, okay, everybody knows them. They are truly world famous. So you do have teams. You do have Arrow McLaren, for example. They are the unrivaled winners when it comes to helping IndyCar promote. They have the most popular driver in Pato Award. They have a lot of great things going on there. Andretti Global do a wonderful job. Chip Ganassi Racing has been doing more and more and really stepping up there. Even some of the smaller teams, Juncos Hollinger Racing, they're doing their darndest. Meyer Shank, I do not question or doubt the team's efforts, like many of the smaller mid-sized franchises in major sports, to try and grow and build bigger fan base for themselves and the league they play in. But ultimately, the NFL does a pretty amazing job of letting the world know it exists, and it's amazing. You look at IndyCar, what has been the thing all four of us have known to be a major flaw for decades, predating Roger Penske's purchase? That is marketing and promotions. Uh-huh. It is the independent, the little indie band we love that we go and see at the bar down the street. And, oh, they're amazing. If only the world could see them, they'd fall in love with them too. And you go, and once upon a time, they were huge. But again, now they're kind of playing bars and local dives. And we've seen what IndyCar was like when it was a raging monster, when NASCAR was firmly second place in the country's hearts in terms of motor racing. This, though, is a problem that extends decades in the rearview mirror. So I don't place all the blame. An idiot would say Roger Penske is to blame. No, not at all. He is only the latest person to acquire the series and take the responsibility for such things.
Hold on. Could I interject this real quick? He is the latest one to take on this responsibility, but I think when he did purchase the series, the track, the TV rights, people thought, oh, this is the guy with the resources. Not saying that he had to spend 100% of his pocketbook, but at least that he would come in with business resources, financial resources, and other resources to be able to make the necessary marketing and leadership changes. Yet that hasn't happened. And I guess that's what's the most puzzling to me and possibly others.
We allowed ourselves a flight of fancy to believe that indeed all of these magical things would happen with one of America's great success stories in Roger Penske. the thing we've learned or acknowledged, maybe come back to reality on, is this. Rogers, tell me about the TV commercial you saw to rent one of Roger Penske's moving trucks. I haven't seen them. They don't exist. But tell me about the commercial for the other things, the great marketing campaign, the print ad, the web ad. That is not how Roger has, by and large, built his business empire. I realize that he's a massive auto dealer, and those dealers, again, they do tons of marketing promotions, as we would think. But if you think of the core competencies here, the big flashy ideas, the shiny objects that are going to get people to look at a racing series, great inventive ideas. Roger Penske, we will be writing books about him, about his business to business acumen, right? One of the great leaders of the businesses doing business with other businesses. That has nothing to do with marketing and promotions. That's all up in the hospitality suite. That is getting CEOs talking to CEOs, big business being done from that, profiting from that, funding a racing team. We hoped that with all this, there would be a massive bringing of skills, or to your point, Gladys, hiring of marketing experts throughout the globe to help get us there. And yes, they have hired some people. They've added more staff. They have, of the folks who are there, especially on the digital promotion side, they have some phenomenal people. Just if you look at any of their rivals, size of the departments are vastly different. The funding committed, vastly different. So even in the really positive areas where Penske Entertainment has made progress in marketing and promotions, it's still, compared to a NASCAR or a monolith like Formula One, drops in the bucket. So I can't blame IndyCar for being a smaller and less financially prosperous series. They're working with what they have. But at the same time, I bet Roger's going to invest $10 million of his own into new marketing and promotion side. He's not the guy to dig deep into his bank account just for the sake of. So it is a catch-22 and has been for many years, where we know how successful he is. We naturally associated grand success to follow with IndyCar. We've seen the car counts go up. That's been big, right? So there's been growth in the paddock, more cars. That's been fairly stable as well. The Indy Lights, now called Indy NXT series, which came along with the purchase, that was hovering at single-digit entries. It's now 20-ish or so. There are team owners who are clearly believing and buying into Roger and what he's doing and saying, we're going to commit more money, more cars and whatnot to the racing series that you own. But then we see the TV ratings for Barber Motorsports Park last weekend are down 100+ thousand people year to year. The previous race at Long Beach was down 700,000 people from 2023, because in 23 it was on NBC. This year it was on USA Network, viewed by far fewer people. We see these rises in attendance, where I believe every points paying race we've been at this year, every promoter said, hey, we're up. Might not be double digit, but I mean, we're up. It's great. And so you see more people on site, but the TV numbers don't necessarily match. So there's this weird fluctuating thing where you cannot say everything Penske's doing is winning or everything Penske's doing is a failure. You cannot claim either side as being a linear fact. But what you can say is, boy, it just seems like we're on this constant roller coaster of, hey, this positive, what are we going to get kicked in the behind on next? And so we get hit with something else. Hey, a new team from Italy, one of the biggest junior open wheel teams in the world, in Prema, is coming next year. It's phenomenal. It's awesome. And then we get the news about the Long Beach rating. And then, and then we got a cheating scandal. But hey, then Georgina falls off of the bridge at Barber, and we get the greatest motor racing meme in a long time. Like, you're constantly just your head is snapping back and forth saying, what the hell is going on?